Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we're happy to have with us Mary Burden. Welcome, Mary.
I'm so glad to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Howdy from Arizona, Mary.
We're thrilled to have you. You want to go ahead with the first question, Anna Mae?
Sure. Where and when, if you can remember, did you get saved? And what brought you to the decision of accepting Jesus as your Savior?
Well, Anna Mae, as I was raised in the house of the Lord because my mom and dad was already saved before I was born. So I actually had the privilege of being raised in church. So when you're raised in church, you don't really get the opportunity to remember the day you received the Lord.
Right.
But I remember the foundation of the work the Lord started in my heart as a young child. I was born in Richmond and we were raised in Richmond, and we didn't have churches established at the time. We were in country churches. Mm-hmm. And no matter where we went, where the Lord led us, my dad to work, we always found a wee church. My mom had us in church 3 nights a week, no matter what went on. Sunday and Wednesday was, you know, established in our home. So she left that foundation of church being first in our house. Eventually, our pastors, our pastor wrote up Uncle Billy McKenzie, and he established a church in Richmond, Virginia. So therefore, for the first time, I was about 7 or 8, we actually had our own church. And I just was raised in the house of the Lord, so I never had a time that I didn't remember knowing the Lord. I knew his presence, and I recognized him. But we moved to L.A. for a winter time, and Bubba Wells had a revival there. And I remember at 6 or 7 years old, the first time I can remember receiving from the Lord, 6 or 7 years old, they made an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my mom urged me to go up, and I did. And I received the Lord that day. And when I received him, it was like different than any before. I couldn't say I received him as salvation because I don't remember saying the sinner's prayer, because I just always remember having him in my life. But I know at that moment is when he became tangible in my life. And I remember laughing, going home, getting in the shower, and just speaking in my heavenly language. He was so real to me at 6 or 7 years old. It wasn't like, you know, you didn't have that moment, because I did. And I could feel his presence on me and within me.
Once you have that moment, it's unexplainable.
It is unexplainable. And even as a young kid, I began to fear the Lord. My mom raised me in the ways of the Lord. So I feared his word and I feared his principles. And I just followed the leading of her. She took me to church, her and my dad. And that was just what I knew until a moment that the Lord actually, I yielded my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And that would bring us to a different part of my life, that when I was 13 years old, we now moved from Richmond up to Baltimore. And my pastor of Richmond now moved up to Baltimore and established a work there. And I really take it not lightly that I was raised in the time where we had hotel rooms and little tiny places that we would gather together. And you could see the presence of the Lord move. And it was normal to dance before the Lord. It was normal to share and testify. It wasn't a hard thing to do because we were in these small rooms. And it was not abnormal to go from town to town. And everybody was in little tiny rental buildings. You didn't have 40 rooms and classrooms. You had one classroom, and everybody was, if we were lucky, it was in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Aunt Peggy used to keep us in the little a hotel room beside it with beds in it, and she'd give us snacks and teach us there. And I had really good leaders that followed me through that next stage of my life. They established the work in Baltimore, and I began to go to Ernie and Jones Church to become my pastor. I put the next few years in there till I was about 13 years old. And we heard of a youth revival happening in Richmond, Virginia. And my mom loaded us up. It wasn't somewhere we were always at the time. We was in Baltimore now, so we didn't go back there all the time. You know, we passed through, but it wasn't our church. So we drove back to Richmond to this youth revival, and there was not the presence of the Lord was just like any, I was just like if I was going anywhere else. I was going to a party or something. It was just something I was used to. I'd grown up around the presence of the Lord, so I didn't really think anything of it. I was trying to meet up with my friends a whole group was going there. It was a place to be. And I went there in hot pursuit of not the presence of the Lord. I just was going to church just because my mom once again laid that foundation in my life. And she put her money where her mouth was and drove that 3.5 hour horrible drive to Richmond because it's all traffic. And I know you've known it, going to church.
Yeah, it is. It's traffic.
So she definitely put that foundation in me that church was first. And I don't remember a time that she didn't put that first in our life. Go to any revival, no matter where it was going, we was at it. Because she wanted us to experience the presence of the Lord. And it wasn't just to experience church, but to know him personally.
Right.
And we left there, and I was thinking about it as I was thinking about this testimony, that I was minded of the story of David when he went to Ornan, the Jebusite. And the Bible says that he came before him because he was going to make a sacrifice, a burnt offering to the Lord for the things that had went on prior to this. And Ornan looked at him and said, "I don't want you to give me nothing," and paraphrasing. And you know what David looked at? He said he was going to give him the ox, and he was going to provide everything for him. He was the king. He wanted to do that. And David said, "I would not offer to the Lord something that cost me nothing."
Yeah.
And David put an investment into that threshing floor of Onan. And this is what reminds me of my testimony. We come back to Virginia, where my mom and dad laid the foundation. They were the big part of the opening of that church, financially, spiritually. We were all there. We were the community getting behind what the Lord was doing. And the very bricks and pews was established through our families, and the families gathered there. And here I find myself in the church that we built, my mom and dad built. I left when it got built and moved up to Baltimore. So we never had a lot of time there. But now there was an established work there. There was a threshing floor there. And just as David's son Solomon built the temple on that threshing floor years later, here I find myself.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
I find myself in that same place. And I'm on a pew two rows back in Richmond, Virginia. And the burden lifters are leading worship. And Tom Hicks was preaching that night. And to say it had anything to do with anybody, they were just vessels. The message was simple. The songs were simple. There was no loud music. It was just, whatever, four or five. And I mean, you play the guitar, so you know how many chords we used back then.
Right.
We used four or five chords.
It got the job done.
And it got the job done. And
sometimes less is more, huh?
Exactly. And I long to get back to that time that I feel like our people's overstimulated with the Spirit of the Lord. Even, we got so much going on around us. It's hard to just get quiet before the Lord.
Mary, it's like this town here. When In-N-Out come to it and Chick-fil-A, and I'm using an earthly thing, the we were lined around the block, and oh my gosh, I remember driving clean to the other end of town when we go to California, and we get off at In-N-Out because you had to have In-N-Out. Now they're on every corner, and I don't think I eaten
exactly.
It twice a year. And we get used to something, we take it for granted. And I know I'm talking, I don't want to cut in on you, but I want to say something that I thought was spectacular that you said.
Yes.
When you said about David, the threshing floor, and that's exactly where he went back and Solomon built the temple. I wrote that down and just showed it to Martha on a piece of paper, because you talked about motel rooms, little tiny rooms. Sometimes we couldn't get rooms, and we would do trailers. They would do their apartments. Wherever we could gather, we gathered.
Yes.
And that was our threshing floor then that God built. And just exactly what you said, yous were doing it here, there, and everywhere. But God ended up taking our threshing floor and making these temples. And I don't want to overtalk you, but that just leaped off to me when you said that. It leaped off the page to me,
Amen. Amen.
And it's a full circle moment. I'm not just saying it as my pastor left the one place. He had Uncle Billy establish a work there, and then he goes up to Baltimore, establish a work, which happens to be where we moved. And even now, he's my pastor in Delaware, the next place that he stayed. And the Lord writes a story, and he gathers all these things together, and he can weave it through your whole life, all of your different things. And as I think about, I'm sitting on that pew that day, two rows back in Richmond, Virginia, a place where my mom and dad never got to really get the residuals from, because we moved shortly after it was built. But the Lord would have a way that I give my heart and yielded my heart. I didn't give it to the Lord because I was already following the Lord. But I yielded my life to the Lord in this service that day. Tom Hicks gets up and preaches a word that was so simple but yet profound to me. Didn't have to be no elaborate word, but the small things that he would say, it was like it leaked off the pages.
Right.
But the big thing that I remember was standing on that pew at the altar service, two rows back. I can remember what I have on. I could remember the exact feeling that I felt. that the power of God fell on me. And I literally, a person that didn't have no habits, I didn't have no bad habits. I was raised in the house of the Lord, so I feared the Lord. What would I have to be cleansed from? But when that Holy Spirit fell on you, you felt like you were naked before the Lord, that you need every part of your heart was exposed. And I began to cry and weep under the presence of the Lord. And as they began to sing, we tarried in that presence. And I was reminded of Psalms 40. It said, we waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my foot upon a rock. And it said, he established my steps, and he put a new song in my mouth. And that is what happened to me that day. I got lifted up. I didn't even know I was stuck. I was lifted up in a firm foundation, the foundation of the church attendance and the leading me the horse to water that my mom and dad led me to. Now I have established a firm foundation that the Lord is underneath me. And I became, for lack of a better word, addicted to the presence of the Lord, because it wasn't church as usual now. We don't want to leave. I remember Tom Hicks at the end saying it's like the comforter. He made everything so simple because now everything's illuminated. Because your eyes have been open. You can see through the spiritual eyes now. And he said, it was like a comforter, Mayor. You know, he told us all, you put a big wrap of comforter, it makes you warm. It wraps around you. And we wouldn't leave the pew. We wouldn't leave the pews. We were there till the late hours because we couldn't help. But guess what? The Lord was so mindful of me that it wasn't just me. It was all my friends got saved in the same service. My sister wasn't at that service. But all my friends that I was raised with, my whole life, got set on fire in the same service. I can name 20 ministers right now, and you would know them and know that they've established churches, they've ordained ministers that got set free in that service, that very service that God and all them people had roots in Virginia. We all had left because, you know, with different seasons, people go different places, but we all established, most of the people there had roots in that church. They had foundations of that church. And this is why you can't just take lightly when you put an investment into something or when you lay a foundation of something, because that's what the Lord keeps bringing back to me about that in Matthew 7, where it says they built their life upon the rock and the winds came and the floods came, but the house didn't stand. Once we got Rock Church, once we got our Cornerstone Faith Assembly built there, it was a foundation that you could always go back to. It was a rock that you could always come and glean from in different seasons. And then the Lord just set my heart afire. And what happened was, now church is normal. Was not normal no more. Yeah. I didn't look at church the same way, because now that God of my mom and my dad was now my God. And I flowed in that heaven.
That was real good.
I started to flow in this Holy Spirit, the same God that I was filled at 6 and 7 years old and was real to me now. Now he's moving upon me. And I'm moving and under that tangible anointing. I can't get enough of him. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to go nowhere. We started throwing CDs out the window. You know why? Because that scripture. He put a new song in my spirit, a song I didn't even have. We had nobody in our family that led worship and played instruments. That wasn't in my generational. It was not even in, but the Lord put a song in my heart, and it was like fire in my bones, and we couldn't contain it. It couldn't be quenched. The thirst could not be quenched by anything but the presence of the Lord. And I had experienced him for the real thing at that moment in my life.
Amen. Well, you said something, two things spectacular there. First, you started out with, I wasn't like a drug addict and alcoholic, whatever, you know, we all, and that's the thing with a lot of our people. Well, I ain't this or ain't that, but everybody needs God. We've all fell short. And then it progressed as you talked there, and you said, the God of my mom and dad is now my God. That was tremendous, Mary. That showed how you were at the one point where you realized you needed God, and you realized you needed to know him for yourself. You can't ride on someone else's shirt tails, or just because your mom or dad, like my boys, because their father's a pastor, that's wonderful. But do they know the Lord? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So to me, that part of the testimony was amazing, where you said, the God of my mom and dad is now my God. That was amazing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Do you remember the first person you witnessed to or brought to the Lord?
You know, me and Betsy, we just talked about when we was just discussing it right now. As I come in and was talking to her, she said, that's something funny, because leading person to the Lord, we normally minister to the people that's within our own body. So everybody saved. No, very, very few times can you get someone to say, I'm not saved.
That's right.
But at that moment, I'm serious. But yep. at that moment, not at that moment, but later on in my life, from when I give my heart to the Lord, we fast forward and to the Lord put it in, to start in my ministry. We went up with my sister up into New Hampshire and different areas. Mm-hmm. And you got those are the places that you would get to lead people to the Lord. But more mm-hmm. than I'd lead people to the Lord, I'd lead people to the Holy Ghost. And it's funny because that's kind of how the Lord would put that new song in my heart was the experience I had with him. So I'd mm-hmm. always want to share that. It was like you were trying to share the next step before the horse. So witnessing was never something that I done. It's actually something I desire to do more of. But and I have led people to the Lord, of course. But to say I remember exactly the time or the place, I can't say I do, but I remember the times and places I got to pray with people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And Amen. It seems like I could remember those more clearly than the other.
That's good. Was that Psalms 40:3 you were quoting? He has put a new song in my heart, even praise, yes. and many will hear it and fear the Lord. That one?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
That is very dear to me, Mary, because when I was 17, maybe, I had a woman I really didn't know come up and prophesy that over me. And then I began playing the guitar after that, you know?
Wow.
16, 17, I can't remember.
Something that nobody done.
Yeah.
Something that nobody done at the time.
But, you know,
playing
but when you were saying that you and your sister started with music, she was told us, we talked to her earlier, and she was talking about the drums and how now all her kids and in-laws are all playing drums. But your witness started with that. Just that scripture, he's put a new song in my heart, even praise, and many will hear it and fear the Lord. So he started you with that, and then now look where he's took his and all the other areas of your ministry.
And that's what happened. The ministry begun there. Mm-hmm. I go back to Baltimore. I'm 13 years old. It was 1998 when I got saved. I'm 13 years old, and I have a new song in my heart and don't know what to do with it. But what happened was, I wasn't happy. I would have had to live at church all day long to feel the presence that I felt. It was corporate worship that he was flowing through. So what I done was I went and bought a $100 keyboard. Now, I did not know. I didn't buy it. My mom or dad, whoever bought it for me. And we were in a little apartment, and I'd play it on the ground of my bedroom. I never knew nothing. There was no YouTube at the time. If there was, I wasn't aware of it. I didn't know how to play. But I would sit down in that little room of the apartment, and I would play these songs. I remember it being the first time I would learn to play these simple songs, one finger and three on the other side, simple on the piano. Yeah. And I remember that they're having the very first revelation of the word I ever had. And it was Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brother, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for it is our reasonable service. And this was the part that stuck out to me that day. I remember writing notes and notes because now my eyes was open, everything I read. Mm-hmm. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renew of your mind, that you will know the perfect and acceptable will of God. And that's what ended up happening. Now my eyes was open, and the Lord had started to reveal things. Because the Bible says, eye has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So now I have the Spirit moving, and he's revealing his word and illuminating it to me. And even though I wasn't a preacher, I couldn't stop writing the notes. I remember reading Matthew 6:7 that I was talking about. I remember the first time I read it and my eyes was open to it, that it wasn't just a story, but it was real. And this is what I wanted to do. And I come back, actually, you brought up my sister. I come back on fire for the Lord. All my friends were saved. Everybody's throwing CDs out the window. I had an older cousin, Teresa, at the time, and she just set that standard for us that was going. And we listened to worship music when we was in her car. And we'd sing and praise the Lord, not knowing what God had in store for us. I come home to my sister. I said, I've got on fire for the Lord. She was married with children at the time, so she wasn't at the youth revival. But I'm on fire for the Lord, and you got to get it. She was my best friend. I said, I bought her a Bible. It's lies to say we were raised in the house of the Lord, but neither of us was on fire for the Lord. And she said, okay, because we done everything together. I give her that Bible. That wasn't her first Bible, but a new Bible since she'd been older. And she followed us back to the youth revival, the second youth revival, because that was one in June and there was one in the fall. And I believe that's where the Lord set her on fire, if I'm not mistaken. But in that established time, the Lord just started igniting fires everywhere because we were all excited. We were all zealous. And now I find myself back in my home church, Ernie and Pastor Ernie and Jones. And we're in this little post office building. I don't know if you ever got to be there.
No, but I heard about it. Yeah.
Well, this little post office building probably set 50 people. and it was right on the main road, and the left side of it was, well, actually at the time, there was the children's church rooms was behind the pulpit. You had to go through that even to get to them. It was very, very small church. But the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me, and now my eyes are open, and I started operating in the gift of the tongues and interpretation. This was a gift my mom, once again, laid the foundation for me. It was very normal for me to hear. It was very common that I was raised in church that had come forth almost every service. It wasn't abnormal to hear tongues and interpretation. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me, and I would hear the fire of the Holy Ghost would hit my heart, and I would feel the boldness. But because I was in the small churches, and I wasn't in these big auditoriums or these big areas, that I loved a small church because my leaders at the time was humble leaders that would give you opportunity. It was like you were so small, there was only a few of us anyway. It wasn't that they didn't reverence it, but they were always known for opening their door of opportunity. And they allowed me to sing when I was singing wasn't even an option. I just wanted to play. But I would sing because there was nobody else there to sing at the time. I would do the children's church. These are all things that our children don't get to do as much anymore because our churches are so blessed. We're in this blessed season. It's no different in the spirit as it is in the financial thing. They don't know what it's like to save and scrimp and hold on to every dollar because they're in a past the Joshua generation. They're down. They're blessed so much that they come into, my boy has a gymnasium the size of four. My church would have fit four of them in my gymnasium right now that he can play basketball in and classrooms. And we thank God for them because we're so blessed.
Right.
But at that time, we didn't have none of that. And all we had was three chord songs and simple Spirit of the Lord. But he moved through those services and he set our heart on fire and he established our goings. That's what he does. And he put a new song in my heart. And guess what happened after that? As you, many of you know, he gathered all those little fragments of them women that I was set on fire with. One was my sister. She began to play the drums. One was all my cousin Mary and Teresa and my friend Maggie and my friend Betty Ann. He gathered us together. Yeah. And he started to use us in the gift of ministry. And I don't know if I'm going ahead of what I should, if I should wait for more questions.
No, because you're kind of going with the question ahead about your ministry. Go ahead.
Yes, because I definitely want the opportunity to share that part. Because when we were at that altar them days, that when the Spirit of the Lord just fell like he did that youth revival, they done a prayer line, right? And the prayer lines they had, the people prophesied on you got up and it seemed like we all got the same prophecy. So, you know, not when you got compared, you were going to have healing hands and you were going to go across the world and preach. And we would not laugh, but like that could never be us. We didn't even have a talent. I remember me and my sister laughing at a ministry that was a sister ministry that they'd go out and she would play and she would preach. And I'd say that would be us. And we would laugh because it was so far from the truth of where we were at. She didn't preach and I didn't sing. But one day maybe that'll happen. And that's exactly what the Lord does.
That's what he
and
did.
And all those prophecies that you heard that was the same. It's because all them same people were gathered together and put on a team, a worship team. All my friends that was called and was going to go across the country and, you know, go to different nations and preach the gospel and do things. Guess what? That's what the Lord done. He began to form our little tiny gifts and he made a band called the Worship. And we were very, didn't have a lot of talent, but we knew how to worship the Lord.
Well, I had your CD.
Yes. And you know, we come out to Phoenix one time with my cousin Mary Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, that was one of our first ministry opportunities was in Phoenix, Arizona. And the Spirit of the Lord fell in them services. And Sister Kim, my Aunt Kim Buckland, got up.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
Preached,
yeah.
And we laughed because the Spirit of the Lord hit. And right there in Phoenix, a Jericho march went around the church. Yep. All the church was filled.
I remember.
And we were very simple. Hazel was with us at the time. She was on the drums. Bessie didn't get to go that service. She always picks herself because that was the time she never made. But we were young in the Lord, and we wasn't married. So we had this small window of opportunity to give God our best. And that is the sacrifice. When you can give the Lord your best years of your life, I don't take it for granted. 13 to 22 is the best years you have. Literally, they're your youth, right?
Amen.
When you
That's right.
Pour that out like to the Lord, I don't remember one, and I give this. I said this the other day on Facebook. I said, I sung that song, You Are My Firm Foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. And that is my testimony. I had a firm foundation underneath me, and I don't regret one day surrendering my heart to the Lord. Not one time that I had to sit out on dancing or sit out on this, because you know we were still young, we still had those things that you were still dabbling in the things of this world, but we knew we would not conform to this world, that slowly but surely, the more the presence of the Lord went in, and we got to flow in that tangible Amen. Anointing, you didn't have to tell us to let go. It was hard at first, but we were so addicted to the presence of God that we just wanted to be in that flow, and we didn't want nothing blocking it. We didn't want nothing hindering it, and that's just what we pursued them. We pursued them at every revival we could go to. We pursued them every church service we could do, and we offered the Lord what we had was small. We had a little bit of a talent that we had established ourselves by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we offered him our best, and we could not outgive God. And the Bible says, God. In his presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
At his right hand is pleasures forevermore. There is no pleasure like serving the Lord, and I know you know that. You've been serving Amen. The Lord your whole life.
Amen.
Yep, you said that when you were 13 to 20, and what come to my mind is young people don't realize that that time, if you can serve God, a woman especially, it's a little different for men, because you get married, you have kids, and it's harder for a woman to serve God, because like before I could go do something, I had to make sure the laundry was done, supper was done and cooked. My kids, I had to have a sitter or not if I was doing music or something. So it's the time when you're single that you can really pour it on with your whole heart, especially a woman. And that doesn't mean you won't continue to do it, but it's more of a carefree time in the Lord.
It's a special time before the Lord. And if you can serve him in that time, Uncle Eddie sings a song, Uncle Eddie Smith, if I wish I would have served him in my youth. That's so true, because there is nothing sweeter than giving him your best. I sing that song, We Pour Out Our Best, Lord, and I think, Lord, not, and I don't say it prideful. When I sing it to the Lord, I sing it humbly, and I say, Lord, you know you were my first. You were my first love. You're the first of my heart. And, you know, as life gets busier and hecticer, I go back and I look back and I say, Lord, when I had the opportunity to serve you with my all, I still serve the Lord in different seasons of life in different ways. But my sister, like I said, when we come to Phoenix, she never got to come because she was at a different season in her life. She was born into her kids. She was ministering in different churches. And even going back to that Orna and the Jebusites selling that piece of flesh threshing floor, she ended up going back from Baltimore. She served in Baltimore. She went back to Virginia and established the work of the Lord in her life, served the church for now, even still serving the church. And my dad and mom's grandchildren served and got set on fire in that same church. You cannot outgive God.
Can't outgive
Your
God.
Time can't outgive him. He will give you back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You can't outgive him.
Amen. Amen. Do you have any standout moments in your ministry you'd like to share with us?
You know, one of the things that I always go back to is the fact that when I was young in the Lord, my cousin Georgie would do, Georgie Woods would do these house meetings. You know, he'd done meetings since he was youth. Him and they had Exodus, if you remember, they had their own band. Mm-hmm. First young band I ever seen, young men sold out for the Lord. And he would have these meetings and we would gather together in a circle. And I'm sure you've done them in your day, but we don't see them as much anymore.
No.
We gathered together a bunch of youth in a circle of his apartment. He'd open up his doors. And we didn't have a major preaching service. We would wait on the presence of the Lord. And as the presence of the Lord would move, you would just sit and pray. And as the fire would come upon you, you could speak out in prayer. You could follow the leading of the Lord. And when I look back at my times and my establishment of what the Lord ended up calling me to do in life, which was always wanting to be in that presence. When I lead worship, I'm not the greatest worship leader. I don't pretend that I'm the greatest worship leader. But when I leave, I want to know that I've called down that presence, that somebody's experienced that tangible thing, because that's what changed my life.
Amen.
That's what made my life different. The Bible, my sister Bessie is a word person. I love the word of God. Absolutely. The word and the spirit go side by side. They are the same. But my experience didn't come by when I was reading the word. It came when the word was illuminated by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we would gather in them rooms and I'd get to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And I'd go into different churches and that fire of the Lord would come upon me. And now that I was in a little tiny church building in the post office, because the Lord would allow that boldness to rise up and the liberty to try your gifts, because, you know, we all failed. There's times I would lie for what I got up and said, or things didn't come to pass that you felt like they were gonna. But the Lord established his voice to me. And we get to go all over these different places. And when he'd come upon me in rooms of 500 people with the major ministers that you'd be lagged before, that thing that I learned in the foyer of Georgie Woods' little apartment, or in Ernie and Joan's little church, the post office, that spirit, I was so bold to step out. And believe me, we're all afraid. Who isn't afraid when you step before the Lord and step behind the mic? But that boldness would go, and he'd go to different churches all across the country. And the standout moments, one of the most standout times I ever got to experience in the Lord, it was when we went to Phoenix, Arizona that time, and the Spirit fell. And how God would bring back that Spirit once again like a wave. The Bible says in the last days, he'll pour our Spirit upon all men. Our sons and our daughters will prophesy. That's what our heart is to desire to see once again, the children rising up and prophesying and speaking and having vision. Amen. And seeing dreams. Amen. You know, that's what I went back to, Dress to Kill. We would experience the Lord just recently, the recent years. We'd get, the Lord would shift different ways and you get to experience them so real. Amen. That's what I desire for our people now, that we wouldn't be so caught up in the religious activity of going to church, because you have to go to church and you have to go through all the things. But if we don't have the hovering of the cloud of the glory falling upon our children, they will grow up and they will do like the children of Israel once did. They will not know that God that we served in the wilderness. Amen. They will not know the one that built the churches. They're not going to know the one that parted the Red Sea, because they're now walking on the other side of blessing. And the fear is that we're going to go quickly. Not just, I go to all the churches, but I even go to a country church right here in Winter Haven that I love. I love the presence of the Lord. I post all the time. But it's an hour and a half time clock. And if the Spirit of the Lord's moving or not, it's, we move on, because you got to get that time, and they got thousands of people to. And that is my fear for our people. You know, one of the things you was asking was, you know, your vision for your people. Mm-hmm. My vision for the people is that we won't be so quick to move through the motions, that we get before the horse and get before the cart, that we're supposed to be behind the glory of God. We have a set stage of order, because I love order. I feel like the presence of the Lord moves much better when order is in motion, because it has a place to move. You know what I mean? We don't want disorder. But as the Spirit is leading us, that we allow the moments of waiting in the presence of the Lord, and especially in the area of worship. That moment, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of worship, when you just get that heart time, that we take that time and allow the voice of God, especially in the gift of prophetic words. Again, I'll say that gift moves in my life, to see the tongues and interpretation, to see the gift of prophecy. You don't see him if you're clocking in and clocking out. You got to wait on him. He said, they waited upon the Lord. I waited upon the Lord patiently, and he heard my cry. That is part of the moment that we're, that simmering. You know, I made a spaghetti sauce before I got on here, and I couldn't just fling it together. I needed an hour of simmering, because the longer you simmer, the better the flavors mingle together. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're missing in our church, not in the church, my church, the church at whole.
Amen.
I see a cycle of moving in and moving out and not touching that throne room.
That's right.
If we don't have church that we experience the presence of God, we ain't going to see the life radically change that we used to see.
A generation
gets saved, not two people, a generation of people set on fire for the Lord and going and igniting another generation, you know?
Well, when I got saved, it was multiple generations, my grandparents, my people, and me. There was three generations all got saved. It was an explosion back then, you know, because it was an experience I've never forgot, you know.
That was the 70s.
Well, now that you bring it up, it brings up right now a memory. I know you said a standout moment, but one of the standout moments, we got to go to a town and minister in an established church, a church of full gospel. But when I was there, I got to preach a service on our book, Beauty Inside Out. They asked us to preach on that. And I wrote the portion that says wind blown and fire shaped. It was blow dryer. And I got to preach on the Holy Ghost. And I, unbeknownst to me, because I didn't know the people, an older woman comes before me and receives the Holy Ghost. And when she does, the whole church went wild, because I guess she didn't believe in those gifts. She was brought up in a denomination that didn't believe in those gifts, and it was rooted far in her life. Her daughter and her granddaughter, three generations, received the Holy Ghost at that moment. I now see them on live, and I watch those children and that mother, that was that young mother, the second generation, operating in the gifts at the front of the church. Only the Lord can do that.
He can change
a generation in one snap if we allow his Spirit to go before us.
Amen.
Well, we have an up-and-coming revival this week for the youth, so let's pray that God moves. Yes, amen.
I'm excited about that. I believe the Lord is going to pour. I told you, Anna Mae, before I got to talk to you the other day, that the Lord showed me it's time for a revival to rise up in Phoenix.
Amen.
And I believe in the Lord is going to come, and we're going to believe for that Joel 2:28 anointed.
Amen.
That Spirit to fall down. And these young children believe for the gift. We need the gifts in operation because the gifts are a ringing bell. We need the fruit on one side, love, joy, peace, and we need the gifts on the other side. And Amen. We need them flowing so that people will want to come back. Amen. They want to see a difference in us. They want to see a change, you know?
And that's it preaches better than anything, a change, the real deal. So we're going to ask you one more thing before we wind her up. If there was somebody, a young person maybe wanting to serve God, what kind of advice would you give them?
My advice is to stay in the presence of the Lord and humble your heart before the Lord and say, just like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, here am I, use me. And that's what we have to be. We have to be. I remember being in the service at a young age, 13, 14, and that's my cousin Nora was up preaching. And I remember them words going forth. And I remember that going like an arrow in my heart. And I said, God, I don't got a lot to offer. But whatever I have, Lord, I pray you would use it. And I cannot tell you the lack of talent I have, but the fact that you'll invade every area of your life, that it don't matter how much, how little you are, because it's not about our ability, but our availability. And he says, if you make room, I'll invade that space.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Nope. I think that's it. I think I've talked enough. I appreciate the opportunity. That's for
we
sure.
We appreciated you taking your time and doing it with us. We enjoyed it. It was very good.
We want to thank you, Mary, and thank you for your continual prayers and support, and thank you for coming on and doing this, taking time out of your day. We truly appreciate it.
I appreciate you. I love what you're doing, Anime. As just as the guitar, and I don't know if this is recorded, just to say, just as you open up that opportunity with the guitar that you never see no one else do, here you are starting another thing. The Lord has made you a trailblazer.
Right.
You and Martha both that are doing something nobody's seen before. And I believe it's going to be like Joshua. They're going to be those stones that was left that they'll come back and know and archive them testimonies that'll go as the people leave. Nobody gets to hear their testimony, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's all God, believe me. We love you. And
Amen.
God bless.
I love you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have
Mary.
A good night.
You too. Bye,
Mary. Bye, girl.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.